Today on Rocking the Suburbs.
Just a bunch of dudes that look like me are going to do that. Today on Rockin' the Suburbs, we wrap up Black Sabbath week talking about Ronnie James Dio and his solo career, as well as we may dip into some of the other projects that other members of Sabbath and ancillary members of Sabbath and Ozzy's bands participated in. Thanks for joining us on Rockin' the Suburbs podcast. My name is Mike Coley. I'm here with
Stephen Routledge over in Scotland.
So this is the wrap up.
Yeah, we've made it to day five, Mike. It's been an epic week, mate.
Yes, it has.
There's been a lot to cover, and we're not done yet.
It seems to be a little bit more detailed than the Iron Maiden and Metallica weeks.
I think that's partly because there's so many changes. It got laughably ridiculous at the point that
they're going through changes.
Yeah, indeed, indeed, touche. you can't really do justice to just how crazy it was by just saying, yeah, they got through loads of guys in this time. Yeah, because it got so ridiculous that people are like not in the band long enough to even record an album and then they're out, you know, or even finish a tour and then they're out, you know. And if you don't cover that, if you don't mention that, it's like you don't really get why things got so bad.
Yeah, it was the chaotic atmosphere surrounding these guys. You kind of got to dip into just a little bit of all of it just to get the big picture.
Yeah, I mean, compared to a band like Metallica, which, okay, they've had their personal changes, but it's a few. It's not, one was enforced on them, you know, with Cliff dying, obviously, and once they got settled into the four, Cliff died and then Jason left, and that's pretty much it. You know, once they were rolling, you know, and so you don't need a spreadsheet to keep track of that. You do need a spreadsheet.
You need a billboard.
Yes, you need really good admin to keep track of the Black Sabbath changes. But as you said, today we're going to talk about Ronnie James Dio, and his career. Outwith of Black Sabbath, which was extensive, and started, well, for all intents and purposes, as a serious music career way back in 1972.
Actually, quite before that, to be honest with you.
Well, I guess in terms of recorded output of note, as well, or as I should say.
Yeah, we can go with that.
That was because, you're absolutely right, and he was prone to shaving a few years off of his age as things went on, wasn't it, to try and make out that he wasn't quite as old as he was. But I guess, there was lots of stuff beforehand, but a band that was initially was called The Electric Elves, then Elves, and then just Elf.
Yep.
Was kind of where it came to other people's notice who would make a difference, I guess, is probably.
Yeah, Richie, Elf toured with Rainbow.
I think it was Deep Rainbow. Purple, you mean?
Deep Purple, yeah. Where Richie Blackmore took notice of Dio, and then when Richie formed the first incarnation of Rainbow, he brought on basically the whole Elf band with him and with Ronnie as the singer.
To become Rainbow, yeah. Yeah, I mean, let's touch on Elf a little bit, because they put out three albums before they disbanded to become effectively Rainbow, minus the guitar player, because obviously Richie Blackmore, quite good at the guitar.
He's all right.
Guess by. Although he had quite an interesting career beforehand, playing in sessions and playing with a guy called Screaming Lord Sutch. You probably won't know who that is, Mike.
Yes, I do know who that is.
You do know who that is?
I do, yeah.
Founder of the Monster Raving Lunny Party in this country. So Richie Blackmore was in his band. But there was three Elf albums. And you got to admire, for a man of Ronnie James Dio stature, calling your band Elf takes some cojones, isn't it? I mean, come on.
Yeah, it's...
I'd be like me calling my band Tall.
Or my band Pudgy.
You got to respect him. He obviously didn't, he took no prisoners and didn't,
So can I just drop something in real quick about Elf?
Of course, mate. Yeah,
the original keyboardist for Elf, his name is Doug Thaler. He is from my hometown, where I am sitting right now, from my hometown. And most of the musicians that were in the original Elf, they're all from this area of the world. Ronnie was born and raised in Cortland, New York. He moved away, I think, to New Hampshire. Later on, his dad was in the military, I believe. But the core of the original Elf band were people from Central New York. And they played, Elf played in my hometown quite often back in the late 60s, early 70s. Ronnie's previous bands, Ronnie and the Red Cats, Ronnie Dio and the Prophets, they were more like doo-wop type bands that Ronnie led. Well, he played trumpet in these bands, and he also sang. And some of that stuff is available on the streams. I did a show with Jim and Patrick a while back, talking about Dio. I think it was with Jim and Patrick.
Yes, I remember that, yes.
Yeah, and where I talked about a lot of that stuff. So you can go back and listen to a lot of the Ronnie James Dio history and his involvement in the music scene in Central New York. He is a Sammy's Hall of Famer, which is the Central New York version of the Grammys. But, yeah, so I have a tight connection with Dio, and when we talked earlier in the week about how I grasped onto Black Sabbath in the Dio years, that's primarily why, because I was a big fan of Dio, because he was kind of a homegrown local hero.
Yeah.
And he joined Black Sabbath, and he was in Rainbow. And...
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, absolutely. No, I totally get that, Mike. I mean, yeah, I'd never listened to the Elf albums before I'd listened to them for this, so it was quite interesting to go back to them.
They're quite different, and I bought into that first album, I don't know if it's the first album or not. It's the one entitled Elf with Ronnie, I believe, dressed like an elf on the cover.
Your makeup and all that stuff. Yeah.
Again, awful album covers associated with Black Sabbath. That's one of them. It's almost like Ozzy and the Bark at the Moon album cover, covered in hair. But it's terrifying, that album cover. But I bought that album thinking it was going to sound like Sabbath or sound like Rainbow. Yeah. Not even close. And that was back when I was in high school. Like, and I just kind of put that aside after listening to it. I'm like, I don't like this. And now I regret it because I think I sold that album back to the record store. And I don't have it anymore. Yeah. And now I'm upset because as an older, more experienced music listener, listening back on those Elf albums, they're not bad. They have that little southern tinge to them.
I put them down as more of a cross between Elton John and Status Quo.
Okay.
I can hear quite a lot of Status Quo in some of those songs, particularly something like Sit Down Honey. Yes, there's a few songs, like, I think it's particularly on the first album, Only Nevermore and The Gambler, kind of hint at what is to come. Those two songs kind of give a little taste of what we're going to get to. But you're right, it's very much blue-collar rock.
Yeah.
It's not metal. It's not even close to metal.
Yeah, definitely not.
It's closer to Bob Seger than it is to Black Sabbath.
Yep, a little boogie-woogie maybe with... I forget Elton John's album where he kind of went that route.
Yeah, but as you say, they had quite a nice little career supporting Deep Purple and came to attention of Roger Glover, because Roger Glover put out a solo album in 1974 called The Butterfly Ball and Grasshopper's Feast, and it features Ronnie James Dio on a couple of tracks, and one of those songs was actually hit in Europe somewhere. It also features Glenn Hughes and David Coverdale. It's a concept album based on a children's book.
Okay.
And I wouldn't waste your time with it, folks, to be honest with you. It's, it's, It's okay, I guess. But we've got bigger and better fish to fry because, as you said, Mike, Richie Blackmore bails out of Deep Purple, thinks that guy in Elf can really sing, takes basically Elf to become Rainbow, and they put out an album in 1975 called Richie Blackmore's Rainbow, and that's also quite successful and is a very good album. Yeah, you got Man on the Silver Mountain, which is a absolute classic, of course.
Yep, became a staple of Ronnie's live shows later on in his life.
It's just an absolute banger. But in 1976, the following year, we get something even better, in my opinion, which is Rainbow Rising.
Yeah, absolutely.
And it's just a stone cold classic album.
Stargazer, epic. Stargazer is an epic song on any scale.
It's just, yeah, I mean, it's that rare thing of an album that finishes the two strongest tracks are at the end. And Stargazer, A Light in the Black, just absolutely fantastic. I mean, let's just have a little blast of Stargazer. People will probably know it, but it's so good. We've got to hear it, Mike, haven't we, really?
Yeah, absolutely.
And just want to leave that one playing, don't you?
Yeah, epic.
Oh, again, proof that you can do heavy with keyboards, you know?
Yeah, and then they brought in, you know, for that album, basically Elf, the guys from Elf got canned by Richie.
Yeah, there's Cozy Powell.
Yeah, said so that guy.
Playing out on the drums.
Cozy Powell, Jimmy Bain.
Killing it, yeah.
Who ended up being the bassist for Dio's solo band.
Yeah.
Just a great, great album.
Yeah. We got to talk about Ronnie James Dio's quality control in that run, right? Because let's just stop and go through the albums consecutively he made. Richie Blackmore's Rainbow, very good album with some absolute classics on there like Man on Silver Mountain. Then you get Rising, absolute classic metal album. You can put it down as being top 10, top 20, you know?
Oh, yeah, it's definitely in the discussion.
It's in the conversation. It's one of the best, right? Then we get Long Live Rock and Roll, which isn't as good.
But you get that you get the classic, that song that Ronnie incorporated into his act for years afterwards.
But also Kill the King and Sensitive to Light, they absolutely rock. Yeah, it's a really good album again. He then joins Black Sabbath and produces one of the greatest metal albums ever made. Hang on, so we just had Rising. So we've got two albums with two different bands that are in the contention for being the best metal album of all time. We get then Mob Rules, which is also great. He then leaves Black Sabbath and puts out Holy Diver,
yeah,
which is another right? metal classic and potentially one of the best metal albums ever made as well. It's like, and then he puts out Last in Line, which is again not quite as good as Holy Diver, but also really, really good.
It's very,
what a run!
Very, yeah.
What a run!
It's crazy. And who knew how much distance you can get with Wizards and Dragons?
Yeah, I mean, as you get further into the 80s, you can start to play Ronnie James Dio Bingo. Because, so a lot of the similar themes do keep reoccurring. But for that run of the three Rainbow albums, the two Sabbath albums, and the first two Dio albums, man, you can't really go wrong, can you?
It just established him as one of the all-time greats, period, in vocalists. Yeah. Not even just metal, but just period.
I mean, to be on one of the potentially best metal albums of all time is a feat in its own, right? To do that on multiple albums is even more impressive. To do it on multiple albums with not one, not two, but three different bands.
Yeah.
I mean, man, that's just, if that doesn't convince you of the greatness of Ronnie James Dio, then nothing will, really. Similar as that. As we said, he leaves Rainbow because they want to go more commercial and do Since You've Been Gone and stuff like that.
Yeah, I'm not a fan of that era.
Yeah, and Ronnie doesn't, so he leaves. He gets his own red hot band with Jimmy Bain follows him, and also he gets this hotshot guitar player, Vivian Campbell from Northern Ireland, who makes his name on the first three Dio albums before going on to join Whitesnake briefly and then more longer lasting Def Leppard, replacing Steve Clark after his death. And we've got to talk about Harley Diver, Mike, because I mean, it's like Blizzard of Oz, really.
Yeah,
you need to have any collection, even if you're not into metal, you need to have Harley Diver.
And everybody knows that song, just the lead track, everybody, the title song.
Yeah.
Holy Diver! It's almost come cliche with Jack Black doing his Dio impersonation, but it's still a classic.
But there's so many other amazing songs on there. You got Stand Up and Shout, Don't Talk to Strangers, Rainbow in the Dark. It's just we need to hear something from that album. What do you want to hear, mate? What do you want to hear? We need to play something from it.
It's got to be Rainbow in the Dark because it incorporates the keyboards right at the beginning. Yeah. Keyboard can happen in metal,
and it's the classic. Classic Ronnie themes, all there together.
Yep, with the sword and...
Just too good, mate. Too good.
Just a little aside on this song. I mentioned off air how Ronnie was from Cortland, New York, and every year they do a thing down in Cortland called Dio Days, where one of his cousins, Ron Feinstein, who was also in Elf, when Elf disbanded, he went on to form the band The Rods, and so The Rods perform at Dio Days every once in a while. But there's also this musician, her name is Sydney Irving, and she's my daughter's age. She's just 21, possibly 22, and I've had her play at Copper City a few times. Fantastic person, fantastic musician, and she's played Dio Days a few times. And like, her biggest influences are Taylor Swift and Tom Petty.
Okay.
But she loves Ronnie James Dio, and she does this acoustic version of Rainbow in the Dark. Is absolutely phenomenal.
Oh, wow.
She's, okay. She's got a jean jacket with the patches on the back, just like back in the 80s.
Nice.
And this is a 21-year-old woman that's just killing it with an acoustic performance of Rainbow in the Dark, because she just has an affinity for for Ronnie's work.
But I mean, also, I mean, if you're a singer, how can you not like listen to Ronnie James Dio? Because if you're into singing, he's one of the best. So you, how can you not enjoy? Even if you don't like the style, you can surely at least appreciate,
Heck yeah.
Yeah, just like, let's just listen to the pipes. Yeah. So, well, and Holy Diver is a big hit, unsurprisingly, because it's so good and it's successful. And that's followed up the following year with Last in Line, which is kind of the Mob Rules, Diary of a Madman to the, Heaven and Hell, Blizzard of Oz. It's more of the same. It's very good, just not quite as good.
Yeah.
Although I got to give a shout out to the song We Rock, because it does.
It does rock. I got that album for Christmas the year it came out. I had this little piece of crap record player in my bedroom. Actually, the room I'm sitting in right now. It just It was one of these little crap record players that had the tape deck, radio, amplifier, turntable, all built into it. I think I got it from Radio Shack, or my parents bought it for me from Radio Shack. Christmas morning, I couldn't wait to get into this room and plop the needle down on the Last in Line. And We Rock, I'm cranking We Rock on Christmas morning from my bedroom and just loving every minute of it.
Yeah. It's still a very good album. And actually, Vivian Campbell and some of the guys who were in that band have continued after Ronnie's death, sort of paying tribute. Because, I mean, Vivian and Ronnie had their issues, but they sort of perform as Last in Line to this day, playing those early Dio songs.
Yeah, they even tried to do like a 3D hologram of Ronnie on tour. I don't know. I didn't read much into it, but I don't know how well it went over.
Yeah, I mean, that technology's more. I know I haven't seen it, but my sister and my parents have both been to see the ABBA show in London.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, apparently it's like, amazing. I mean, I'm obviously the songs are good. I mean, when you got that many hits, it's hard to make a bad show out of the ABBA songs, you'd like to think, wouldn't you? But I'm not quite sure how I feel about the paying to see a virtual version of. I'll just put Holy Diver on instead, I think.
I'm kind of surprised that Wendy agreed to it. Wendy, Ronnie's wife and manager.
Yeah. But I guess money.
Yeah, I mean, if you're going to keep the legacy going, you may as well give it a shot.
Well, talking of legacy, we get, say, Last in Line keeps things going, and Dio are quite a big draw concert-wise. But in 1985, so it's three albums, 3 years, we get Sacred Heart, and perhaps We Shouldn't Have Done.
Yeah. That's the tour I saw Dio on for the first time. And he was in 85, and actually, it was in Syracuse. So the mayor of Cortland came on stage and declared September 17th, 1985, Ronnie James Dio Day in Cortland, New York. Gave Ronnie the key to the city. Big pomp and circumstance. And the album itself, Sacred Heart, not a huge fan of. There's some standouts there, but overall, with Holy Diver and Last in Line, those two are a high, way above what came following that.
Yeah, no, I agree. I think the part of the problem was, like everyone, Ozzy, Sabbath, everyone was trying to do it, was trying to go more commercial, appeal to MTV and that sort of stuff. And, we've eulogized as the greatness of Ronnie James Dio, but an MTV star is not what you want. He's not John Bon Jovi. But in all the good ways, but also in the bad ways.
Exactly.
Teenage girls are not going to be putting pictures of Ronnie on their wall. Simple as that.
No, just a bunch of dudes that look like me are going to do that.
And so the album suffers that. I mean, I have to confess to enjoying Rock and Roll Children, though. I did really enjoy that one.
Yes, I do like that one.
Quite good fun. Vivian Campbell leaves and is replaced by Craig Goldie, who on and off will be Ronnie's main guitar guy through most of the rest of his solo career. Not entirely, but he's kind of the most consistent guy after that. Yeah, he's kind of Zach Wilde, as it were. 1987 brings us Dream Evil, which I think is a better album than Sacred Heart. And I do have a big soft spot for All the Fools Say All the Way.
I do like that one. Yeah.
It's just another big Ronnie performance, you know. And then in 1990, we get Lock Up the Walls, which, you know, everything's been on a big downturn and does not sell well at all. And is what led to the Dehumanizer reunion with Sabbath in 92, because basically, yeah, Ronnie's career was on a big down. Yeah, Sabbath, as we discussed at length, were in the toilet, basically. And so they get back together, but... And yeah, as we covered, that doesn't end well. Which leads us to 1994, and we get an album called Strange Highways. And much like Black Sabbath, trying to get more modern, the Strange Highways album tries to modernize, but it just doesn't work to me. Mike, I don't know what you think.
I actually fell off of Dio's stuff when this one came out. So I didn't, you know, Dio and Apsy got back together for this one, but not a huge fan.
No, it's just stylistically, Ronnie's voice doesn't work. They're trying to bring a sort of Pantera kind of sound to it, and it just doesn't fit Ronnie's voice for that style. You know, a lot of it is kind of dull and plodding, and Ronnie James Dio's voice and dull shouldn't be allowed to be used in the same sentence.
Right.
You know, I mean, this is one of the greatest singers ever. And dull. How can they be? It's like putting Freddie Mercury and dull in the same sentence. It shouldn't be possible.
Exactly. Yeah, but the other thing is, you know, I mean, in this era, that's when grunge took over the world.
Yeah. And I mean, metal was in the dull.
Metal was on life support at this point. I mean, I remember going to the Monsters of Rock tour.
Mm-hmm.
I think it was called the Monsters of Rock, maybe not. It was Slayer, Megadeth, and Anthrax. I think it was Anthrax. And Alice in Chains was opening up for them. Alice in Chains had just released their first album. they got booed off the stage. This was probably 91. But then later on that year, Nirvana hit and everything changed. I mean, you could watch the Anthrax Behind the Music from VH1 where Scott Ian talks about what happened this point in time in the early to mid-90s where metal and hair metal were the MTV darlings. They were all over. There was a daily afternoon show on MTV modeled after the Saturday Night Headbangers Ball. It was a daily version, a half-hour version of the Headbangers Ball every day during the late 80s and up to the early 90s. And they still had the Headbangers Ball happening on Saturday nights. And then when grunge hit, it just kind of, everything just fell. Yeah. Everything in the metal world just, nope, that's passe. We're not doing that anymore. We're doing this now.
It was, the only band that survived and prospered in metal to that degree was Metallica.
Yeah.
Simply because they were so big that they were bigger than metal at that point. They weren't, although they were still obviously this, they've always been a metal, they stopped being a metal band, but they.
Oh, yeah, so they were the one, of, they were one of the so biggest big, rock and roll yeah, bands they, on the planet. Just, at that
yeah,
point.
They were so big that you couldn't kill them, for this lot of this period of time, metal went back to what it had been when Sabbath actually started off, which has been an underground genre that's popular with people who like metal, but not, somehow through its various sort of waterings down and polishings and hair metal and all that stuff, it had become this huge thing in the 80s. But it didn't go away. It just wasn't successful. But there was a lot of lean times for a lot of. The Titans, who'd built it,
As we discussed about, the Sabbath 90 years.
Yeah.
90s years.
Yeah, we get Strange Hideaways, we get Angry Machines 2 years later in 96, which again is more the same. My comments on this album are that, the playing is good, but the style feels like a bad-fitting jacket for Ronnie James Dio.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
like someone's trying to dress him up to be something what isn't. We've made kind of joked about the Ronnie James Dio bingo of rainbow, dragons, swords, the dark,
all these
things that are going to get mentioned. But the thing is, there's a reason why that was successful because it works,
and that was in his world. That was his thing.
And fortunately, in 2000. He kind of realizes that trying to modernize isn't going to work, and he unleashes the concept album that is surprising that he had not done before this point, with an album called Magica.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a full-on concept album, including the story narrated by Ronnie himself at the end after all the music. And some people might say, this is preposterous. This is nonsense. I love it. I think it's brilliant.
I've listened to it a few times and I do like it. Especially compared to the previous stuff.
Yeah. Because he's going full Ronnie. He's just leaning. It's like,
what Ronnie
I'm just
needs do
what I'm
to
good
do.
At.
You're
this
Ronnie.
This is what I'm good at. I'm
You're
just
Ronnie.
Gonna do it.
Be Ronnie. Be Ronnie.
And yeah, I think it's really great. I absolutely love it. Let's have a listen to the song Chalice from Magica, because it just makes me smile the whole album really. stuff.
Yeah, that's back to the early 80s deal. You got Craig Goldie on guitar, whom a lot of people may remember from Jafria back in the early 80s. He's back in the band. And Jimmy Bain is playing bass, you know, back with Ronnie, you know, who was with Ronnie in Rainbow. Simon Wright, who played with AC/DC. That's an all-star band right there. And it's definitely got some touch tones of Ronnie's classic stuff, for sure.
Yeah, I think, yeah, because a lot of what Ronnie has done has often been quite preposterous in some ways. But that's kind of what makes it so good. Because yeah. he's got the voice. I mean, his voice is preposterous. It, as we said, there's no way that a guy that size should be making a noise that big.
Exactly.
And that amazing. Yeah. And I think, we get a couple more albums before his death in 2010, Killing the Dragon and Masters of the Moon. And they're not as good as Magicka, but they do stick to the familiar ground. And are better for it than, Lock Up the Walls, Strange Highways, or Angry Machines, you know. But if you're going for the later period, Ronnie, I'll definitely Magicka is the pick for me.
I would agree, definitely.
Because there's a song on Killing the Dragon, a song called Rock and Roll, which ironically bears more of a passing resemblance to Kashmir. So that's two Zeppelin references in one sentence. And we've got End of the World and Master of the Moon. The riff, I'm like, surely did no one go, do you know what? That sounds an awful lot Back in Black to me.
It happens all the time.
Yeah. But Back in Black is not an obscure B-side. It's quite a well-known song.
You make a solid point.
Yeah. anyway, that's by the by. One thing you have to say about Ronnie is right to the end, his voice was still there.
Yeah, I mean, when we talked about the Heaven and Hell album, I mean, he was just diagnosed with this stomach cancer.
Yeah,
he would have to duck away in between takes just to be sick.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
and he still was able to just
absolutely
perform
wild.
Like he was touring, and he wasn't diagnosed at that point because he just did not go to doctors, much to his detriment, I think. But he was still touring with those issues happening to him physically, and still killing it.
Still bringing it, yeah. It's amazing, really, absolutely amazing. But well, we've made it to the end, Mike.
We've made it to the end of Sabbath week.
Yeah, we've covered an awful lot of ground, and I hope folks have stuck with us and not given up and tuned out. But I think, just to say, really, thanks everyone for listening. Thanks for being on this journey with us. We hope you've learned something. I hope you've heard some stuff that you hadn't heard before that you've enjoyed, maybe from Sabbath or Ozzy or from Dio. And, please get in touch and let us know what you thought about Sabbath week. You can email the pod, rocketsuburbspod.com. It's at suburbspod on all the socials. You can get me on Facebook, Stephen Routledge, and Mike Pokes can get you.
On Facebook, at Mike Coley. Also on Instagram, SwampRat16 is my handle there. And you can also check out my radio show on Suburbs Radio every Saturday from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. Eastern Time. Leading up to this week, I plan on doing some Sabbath-y stuff, some Sabbath family tree stuff. I've been thinking about this for quite a while, and thanks for indulging me in this when I shot it your way, Stephen, the suggestion of doing Sabbath week. I mean, who else would I want to do it with?
Well, thank you, Mike, for something, mate, because, it's been an absolute pleasure, as it always is, talking music with you, man, talking metal with you, mate. So, and, we've had to wade through some choppy waters at times with some of the output, but we've also got to listen to some of the greatest metal music that's ever been made. And that's no hardship.
Death to false metal, as Joe Fleischer says.
Indeed, I can imagine him throwing the horns as we speak. Right. Well, I'll tell you what, let's play out with We Rock, shall we? That seems a fitting way to tie things together, do you think, Mike?
Perfect, because we do rock.
Well, you know, that's let's others judge that, but we'll try it. We try our best. Okay, take care, folks, and we'll let Ronnie James Dio take us on.
Death to false metal, as Joe Fleischer says.